This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Sean Bilat. He's the Republican nominee for Congress in the 4th Congressional District in Massachusetts, a seat held for the past 30 years by Democratic incumbent Barney Frank, who, of course, is chairman of the House Financial Services Committee and has become a lightning rod in the United States Congress. For the first time in decades, Congressman Frank is facing a very tough challenge, and a big reason for that is the candidacy of Sean Bilat. And, Sean, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me.
A lot of people would have said that this is an unwinnable seat. Frank is unbeatable. Obviously, there are issues related to his leadership in the financial services industry, which we'll get to in a moment. But what convinced you to not only get in this race, but to believe you had a chance to win?
Well, a lot of people say he's unbeatable because he's been around for so long. But one of the reasons he's been around so long is that people haven't challenged him. And so it's been 28 years since people in this district had a real choice in November. Back in January, Scott Brown won here in the 4th, so it indicates that there are people here willing to elect a Republican if they see a good alternative. And given everything that's going on this year, nationally and locally, it's certainly a time where people are considering changing out the leadership. And when you look specifically at Barney Frank, he's been part of the leadership down in Washington. He's been part of the reason we are where we are with this economy and with the massive pieces of legislation that have been pushed through. So Barney Frank is one of the bad guys, and I think that's why a lot of people here are excited about the race.
When you look at the work he's done and actually spearheaded, whether it's the reforms, quote-unquote, on Wall Street or the leadership and handling of the Fannie and Freddie issues, some of those issues can get pretty much in the weeds. There's a lot of technical detail in there, although people realize that the mortgage industry was a major reason for the triggering of the economic collapse. How are you distilling that? How are you pointing out where you believe Barney Frank is responsible for that and how you'd be different?
It's pretty straightforward. If you understand that people who can't afford loans shouldn't get them, and you understand that Barney Frank has for almost 20 years now been pushing to extend homeownership even when people couldn't pay for the loans they were getting, and you understand that that led into the subprime mortgage market, which led into the housing bubble, which when it popped led to the financial collapse, then all of this can be traced directly back to Barney Frank and his advocacy of people getting loans regardless of their ability to pay.
Sean, tell our listeners a little bit about your background. I know you're a Marine. You've also spent time in the business world. Where do you believe you'd be able to serve most effectively on Capitol Hill?
Well, I think those are the right two experiences to emphasize. Is, you know, time as a Marine, that's very important. About right now, about 20% of Congress has military experience. We need at least that much to have that experience, so that's an important aspect. But maybe more important right now is that time in the business world, keeping people employed, growing companies, creating jobs, doing all the sorts of things it takes to get the economy back on its feet. We have almost no one in the administration, almost no one in the congressional leadership who has spent time in business, meeting payrolls and growing jobs and doing that sort of thing. So I want to bring that experience to Capitol Hill. I think it'll be a big step in the right direction as we get more and more members of Congress who have experience in the private sector.
One of the other things Congressman Frank, of course, is known for, and negatively so on the Republican side of the aisle, is kind of an abrasive personality. How does that fit with the district? Is that acceptable there, not acceptable there? And how do you think that factors into how folks ought to consider this race?
Well, he's gotten away with it, again, because he hasn't had competition. And so a lot of people have this, ha-ha, that's Barney being Barney, saying something funny, saying something rude. But there are a lot of people who I've talked to, Democrats, people who have voted for him many times, who just personally don't like the guy or who had a bad experience with him. They went to his office and he got up and walked out or was otherwise rude. You can't get away with that, with treating your constituents that way, unless you don't have competition. This year he does, and this year there are a lot of people who are going to go to the voting booth and consider whether they want somebody who represents them, treating them with that level of arrogance.
The polls show the race as close, but Frank's still ahead. He just wrote himself a $200,000 check. What does that tell you about where you believe this race really stands, and how do you plan to close the gap here in the final week if there really is a gap?
Well, we think everything we know tells us that it's closer than some of the polls are showing. And obviously, Barney Frank sees the same thing, or else he wouldn't be writing that $200,000 check. We're going to keep on doing what we've been doing, reaching out to the grassroots, building our Get Out the Vote and voter identification network. We're up on the air. We're up in Providence, which hits the lower part of the district, the southern part of the district. We're up in Boston, which hits the northern part of the district. So we're getting our message out. Right now, it's all about execution and continuing to raise money so that we can get those ads out, especially in Boston where it's very expensive, and continue to press the message. But we feel very good about where we are. Momentum's definitely on our side, and now we need support of people here in the district and across the country.
What'd you read out of the Scott Brown campaign, and are you trying to emulate that campaign on some level?
Well, trying to emulate it in that we're trying to win.
sure.
But, you know, what we saw with the Scott Brown campaign was, again, we saw people who said that they are willing to vote Republican, even here in Massachusetts, if they see a better alternative on the Republican side. And so in addition to people having voted that way for the first time in a long time, all sorts of people who had never been involved in political campaign got involved on Scott's, went out, volunteered, knocked on doors, put up the other sides. A lot of those same people are now working on our campaign, and it makes a world of difference.
We'll be closely watching the race. We mentioned Barney Frank writing himself the check. Where do you stand compared to him on the financial front?
Well, we outraised him in September. We outraised him in October. We outraised him in Newton, his hometown. So we feel pretty good about how the money's coming together. Obviously, he had a huge advantage coming into it. I think we're rapidly closing that gap. And again, if we get that national support, the $10 that people are sending in from all over the country, that makes a huge difference.
And you can learn more about his campaign at SeanForCongress.com. That's SEANForCongress.com. Sean, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
Sean Bielad is the Republican nominee for Congress in Massachusetts' 4th Congressional District. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.